Today's show is sponsored by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Because ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, and you can try it for free right now by visiting ZipRecruiter.com/lass. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/lass. How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned. What is up, guys?
Hey.
Guys, how are you doing today? I'm guessing you're listening to this usually on a Tuesday, so it's probably March 13th, March 14th, or maybe you listen later. Hope you guys are having a great day. I'm excited for today's episode. I want to talk about a couple things, but first, me and Alyssa just got done hanging out with the two brothers who started He Is Greater Than I, the clothing brand and the lifestyle clothing brand. You guys probably know them. They're incredible, incredible company. Mm-hmm. We see their stickers, their shirts, their hats, everything all over the place. They're one of our favorite clothing companies. But man, it was just really cool to hang out with them. I think it's always cool to know of a really popular, famous brand and then to hear the story behind it and mm-hmm. to meet the faces behind it. And Kaimana and Kainoa, we've actually talked and hung out or texted and kept in touch the last couple of years, but then they live over on Oahu. And so they flew over today and we got to hang out with them.
Yeah, it was so fun.
It was a blast. The kids love their He Is Greater Than I stuff.
Yeah.
And the coolest
all
part.
All sis will wear.
Yeah. And so they're awesome. They're local guys, grew up on the North Shore of Oahu. And one of the brothers' names is Kaimana. And Kins was so stoked because there's a little kids book she has called Kaimana Big and Strong. And it's all about this, like, what is he, probably 4 or 5 years old? He's like a little boy.
And he learns to bodyboard.
And he learns to bodyboard and surf on the North Shore of Oahu.
She just couldn't wait to meet Kaimana.
Because she thought it was the guy from the book.
Yeah.
Like, I think she actually thought that he was literally, like, that was a story about his life.
Maybe. even when I was putting her to nap time just now, she's like, Mommy, I'm so happy. I loved having Kaimana over and Kainoa.
Yeah, they had a blast. Yeah. So if you guys are listening, thanks for coming and cruising. That was really fun. But I think, let's just talk about that for a second, because I think I was struck with, I think I just get so stoked when people follow the Lord's plan and just let him lead step by step, not thinking that you have to have this 10-year plan or this 20-year mm-hmm. plan, but just like when the Lord opens doors, walk through the doors, and that's essentially their story of the business, that God's allowed it to flourish and succeed and blessed it simply because of their obedience. Mm-hmm. And then I think the main thing I was stoked too is I think I get so stoked to realize, and this is hopefully a lesson to everyone, that like, if God calls you to be a pastor, then go be a pastor. That's what he wants you to do. Go to seminary if you want to go to seminary. Do a church plant if you want to do a church plant. But God is also bigger than the traditional ministry walls, and he can actually really bring his kingdom come, you know, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in all domains of life, including business and, yeah. you know, a shirt company or a clothing company or
totally.
This or that. And I think it was just so cool because you hear of the ways they've been able to infect, like they've been able to get through doors that traditional pastors might not, but yet they love mm-hmm. the Lord and are able to be in positions to talk about the Lord in ways that are different than a pastor could. And a pastor can be different than them. Like, I just think I was really encouraged that, man, like business is actually business done well, business done to the glory of God, and business done in a right integrity filled way where the Lord's in it, but not just like, where he's in the center of it. I think I just realized like that is God's way. God blesses that. God loves that. And that is very much on his path.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny that, not funny, it's just coincidental yeah. that you're talking about that, because I just had dinner last night with my friend Talia, who's in town, and she does the Pache Bella
jewelry. People seen you post about
it. You guys, post about it on Instagram, and she just makes her own jewelry, which is amazing. It's beautiful. But before she did that, she was a professional paddleboarder, and mm-hmm. she would get sponsored by Roxy and all these surf brands. But she was telling me that when she started to really walk with the Lord, she would get sponsored once in a while for like little, what do you call that? Contests and stuff.
Yeah,
but she wasn't like fully sponsored. And when she started to really walk with the Lord, all these things happened that the Lord kind of stripped her of. And she said she had this fear that the Lord was going to call her to like the Midwest to just like make butter and like be so far away from the ocean. And just, I think it was mainly like a fear that the Lord would take away what she loved most, which was paddleboarding and surfing.
Yeah, to go make butter. Yeah.
To serve him. And so she just kind of finally like came to a point of, Lord, wherever you call me, I want to go. And I just want to serve you wherever you, because she thought she just had to be a missionary and, you know, but maybe live in the Midwest. And
no, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then an hour after she like really had this prayer with the Lord, like, okay, Lord, I surrender. Mm-hmm. Her agent called her and was like, hey, Roxy wants to meet up with you in this contest in Florida. And she got sponsored. And all of a sudden she was got all these things. So she did like a travel, I forget what you call it, a travel.
Like a tour.
Tour in Fiji and Indonesia and all these places. Wow. And it was just kind of like, Lord, you're so good. Like, you know, I love the ocean and this is the area you want me to be, and you want to use me in this domain. And there's so many people that weren't believers where she was, and just like, and yet the Lord surround always like gave her another believer to be with and to just, you know, shine in that area. So like you said, like, I think sometimes in our box mind, we can think like, oh, the Lord can only use me if I do this, when really like he wants to use us in all domains of life. And he needs you, and he's giving you particular gifts and passions. And it's not like he's going to, you know, like, what do you call that? Like, oh, you have that, but you're never going to do that. It's like,
yeah,
he usually gifts
you with stuff that he wants you to use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want you to shine for me in this area.
Yeah.
So it's just a really cool, I don't know. I just loved hearing your story. And it's
totally,
even with the He is Greater Than I guys, it's just so cool how the Lord.
Well, he wants to infect every domain of society with his glory and goodness, and I think that's what's really cool. And,
and he's so much more creative than us.
Totally.
Like his,
we get really pigeonholed into thinking it has to look this way or look this way. And and it's cool because I just think like, I mean, and then talking about He's Greater Than I guys again, like their stuff is of such high quality. The cool part is that they wanted to be on par with what people normally like and wear in regards to quality, but then also making it a conversation starter and having the brand focus back on Jesus. And so that's cool because that shows you that God's a God of excellence and creativity and goodness. And they're reflecting that in their business and then the relationships they make, Talia with the jewelry. And I think theologically, it just reminds me that like, you know, we are on this path. God in the resurrection, God kind of started this new world, this first day of like a new dawn, a new dawning day of like new creation. That's what Paul says. It's new creation. And so we're kind of that door has been opened. But it won't be fulfilled and consummated until Revelation, where it says that, you know, the new heavens will come down to the new earth like a bride adorned for her husband. But it's a city. And so it's like we're going after this city, and we're not just going after this church in a building way. Now we're the church, the ecclesia. But I think a lot of us, the way we live our lives is almost as if the Revelation is this picture of like a steeple with everyone sitting inside of it. Like that's not the goal, really. The goal is not really to get people inside of church on a Sunday. Now the body of Christ and the gathering of saints, et cetera, is vital. But at the end of the day, it says we're building a city, like the end, the finish, like we get to read the end of the story, and the finish of the story is that it's a city. Now city implies everything. Like a city is kind of this real life picture, but also a metaphor of like every domain. Like a city has art and politics and medicine and law
and food
and culture and clothes. Diversity of people and clothes and ethnicities. And that's what we're going towards, is that God wants to be Lord of all in all of those domains. And it's like, think about, like, the cool part is we don't know what this is going to look like, but that's what I think we get to use our imagination for, is like, what is medicine? Well, I don't know if we'll need medicine in some sense, but what is medicine or art or food or politics or whatever? What is that going to look like when there's no sin? And when there's only people using it to point to Jesus? I think that's a cool thing to think about, that it's like these mediums will actually be fully realized without sin, without the curse, in a new world. And so it's cool because like guys like Kaimana Kainoa are doing that with their business. You might be doing that with your Etsy shop. You might be doing that with going to culinary school. But God's primarily about relationships, and all these different domains let you get in a place of relationship that you might not have been if you didn't go that route. And so leverage that relationship and also show God as a God of excellence in those domains. I think it's really cool. But it was really fun, and the fish tacos were bomb.
Yeah, so good.
so good. Guys, real quick, before I move on to this book about Paul I'm reading that I want to talk about for a sec, I want to talk about our sponsor, ZipRecruiter, today. Now, If you're hiring, you know, every business needs great people and a better way to find them. And I love ZipRecruiter because they kind of hacked that system and made it a lot easier for you to be able to find people that you need for your job, so that just the right people that you need to see it, see it. And so they knew there was a smarter and better way. So they built a platform that finds the job candidates for you. And what's cool is ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for. They identify those people with the right experience, and then they invite them to apply to your job, which is awesome. And in fact, 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter say that they usually find a quality candidate within just 24 hours, which is crazy. And the right candidates are out there, and ZipRecruiter helps you how to find them. So we want to hook you guys up. So if you're listening, you're an entrepreneur, you got a business, you need some help, you want to keep filling those spots, they want to let you try it for free. And so ZipRecruiter wants to let you try it for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/lasts, L-A-S-T-S. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lasts, and you can try it for free. And it's the smartest way to hire. So yeah, guys, we one thing I want to talk about too is I'm reading this new book by N.T. Wright, he's probably my favorite. I don't know if there's one theologian who I feel like has transformed my life, affected my life in a deeper, more transformative way than his writings. Surprised by Hope, Simply Jesus, How God Became King, his huge tomes of Paul, I think it's Jesus and the Victory of God, and it's amazing. But he just came out with this book called Paul, A Biography, and it is fascinating because, I mean, he's a first-rate scholar. I don't think anyone really knows the world of Jesus better than him, or at least, you know, not many out there. The original languages, and his, even though he knows the entire scripture really well, his bullseye is Paul. So for him to write a book on Paul, there's no one better. But man, it's just fascinating. I was telling you about it too. It's a crazy book, and he kind of divides it based on, it's hard to explain, but it's like, I literally am reading a biography of Paul. Just like you would read a biography of Barack Obama Thomas Jefferson, or it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And it reads like that. And he really pieces it together with so much scripture. And he really puts, he makes scripture 3D of when Paul says things like this, we can distill it because this Roman emperor was in power this year and what this meant. And I think it just took when we read scripture, it definitely is transforming how I'm going to read scripture from here on out. But I think we don't realize that when we read scripture, Paul was a boss and he was crazy gifted and crazy skilled. And so I think because of that, we just think that he was just on fire for 40 years and just crushing it and all this. But in reality, it's it was hard. I think the thing that really struck me about this biography is most of his stuff was written out of the fact of it. I think I assume that the early church, we sometimes assume that the early church was just hunky dory and perfect. Jesus, you know, these people got saved, his resurrection happened, Acts, the church got unleashed. And then just anyone who started to follow Jesus just knew exactly what that meant and loved everyone. It was the opposite. It was in fact, I think I really realized through this book, they kind of it was confusing, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's
I'm sure
they started to follow Jesus, but they were very, at least in the beginning, before the Gentiles were welcomed in and there was the, you know, Jerusalem conference, Acts 15. It was very much these are fully Jewish people believing in the Jewish scriptures, but they're saying things that are very different from what a lot of the traditional Jewish people are saying. And the Jewish people really didn't like what they were saying, but these people were really Jewish. So it's are they Jewish in their fulfillment of the scriptures? And they are. Paul very much was Jewish and very much never, he didn't start a new religion. He didn't create a new religion. He didn't leave his Jewish faith. He just believed that Jesus was the fulfillment of the ancient Old Testament promises through Abraham, David, you know, the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, mm-hmm. et cetera. So that's what blew my mind is how easy it is to see that confusion. I totally get it now there was an essence of them starting something new, this Messiah people, these Jesus people, but they were also very much drawing from a foundation of the Jewish scriptures and promises. So it wasn't they were just starting over. And so then how did that work out? I don't know. I think I just realized it's so practical and there was just real needs of you get the letters now that Paul writes. Cause it's okay, can we eat this anymore? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Can we do this anymore? I don't know.
Yeah.
What does this mean? And you know, and I don't know. It's just really fascinating. And then how he was super also a real guy and had broken relationships. You know, he had a falling out with Barnabas and that was a real thing. you know, he was friends with them and then wasn't friends with them. And it's crazy.
Tell him about what you were telling me at the beginning after he became a believer. And then he had 10 years of just
so there's
quiet
only one
in Arabia.
Yeah. There's only one sentence in Galatians that says this, but essentially Paul went to, Paul, once he, like, so the road to Damascus, everyone knows that story, X8, I think is Stephen. I don't know, but somewhere in there. He falls off his horse, you know, and God blinds him and basically gets saved in a really radical way and sees Jesus for who he is as the fulfillment of the Messiah promises and the ancient promises in scripture. And then he goes and does a couple little things and, you know, gets meets with the Jerusalem, you know, kind of the center of, like, which was like Peter, James, and John. In that sense. And but
we
then,
laugh because the kids have this song, this Bible song about Peter, James, and John in the sailboat.
Yeah, so every time we hear those names, we always go Peter, James,
and John in a sailboat. Peter, James, and John so in a sailboat.
But yeah, so he, like, showed himself to them and, you know, they had a little powwow. But then after that, yeah, it says in Galatians, it's only one sentence, we pass over it. But he went to Arabia for 10 years. Like, he wasn't,
which
Paul,
I never think of. Yeah. I just think, like, oh, we Paul
fell off his horse,
killed believers, and then all of a sudden he just, like,
started
loved
going,
Jesus and
yeah,
was,
started baptizing him and teaching.
Yeah.
It's like, no, he literally spent, that literally happened, and they had one moment of showing himself to kind of, like, affirming what God had done. I think it was Barnabas or Silas or someone, basically, you know, that God told him to go deep, you know, make him not blind anymore. Mm-hmm. And basically confirm the ministry. But then he went to Arabia for 10 years and just was, like, silent. And Wright just makes this argument of, like, he very much had to, like, it's such a worldview crash that, like, Jesus is the fulfillment and you have to kind of reread the Old Testament in these more beautiful, resurrected, Jesus eye opening yeah. ways now. And so it's like, yeah, that took years for him to distill that, kind of, like, go back to Abraham, go back to David, go back to these things and see that, like, it was there the whole time, but in a fresh new way that he's reading it. So that takes years to do. But then on top of that, what was cool is that Wright makes the argument is, I mean, Paul was a Jew of all Jews, Torah obedient to the max, zealous is what they said in the scripture, just basically like a varsity Jew in regards to how well he was Torah obedient. And so very much to him, Moses is like the icon. Moses is Torah is what it's about. Moses is what it's about. And so Wright makes the argument that why did he go to Arabia? Well, Mount Sinai was in Arabia, and he makes the argument that he thinks Paul basically went back to Mount Sinai, which Mount Sinai represents Mount Sinai
Moses.
Is, yeah, it's a place, but it also because
where, Jesus, where God came down.
Exactly. Like it's a locate, it's a physical place, but also at the same time, it's like a kind of like a holy ground place in the Jewish thought, because it very much became to be this place that just represented all that the Torah did. Like that was where they got the Torah. That was Moses. That was the law. So Mount Sinai kind of became like kind of in the same way that we think of Washington, D.C. It's a technical place, but we also know that's the seat of like all of our culture and politics and, you know, in that sense. So he argues that he went back there to kind of just like go back to the scene of the crime of like, man, I want to make sure that I'm really hearing this right. And I want to make sure kind of just like that he went back to have this collision with Moses and Jesus now that Moses fulfills and is all about Jesus. But just like, it was a really cool way to think about it of like that he went back to, the thing that he thought was the peak and kind of saw it with fresh eyes, the law, the Torah, still necessary and beautiful and amazing. But at the end of the day, something that came to its fulfillment. It wasn't like a permanent thing set up forever. It was very much like this, I think Galatians uses the words like this school teacher, this guardian, and that time was over. And so it was just kind of cool. I don't know. The book's amazing, you guys. It blew my mind and I could go on and on and on, but you need to read it. The people listening,
fatty.
But also you, but you too, Liz. It's not, I don't feel like it's crazy.
It's pretty big.
I feel like it's, but it's still a common book. It's not like his, like, that those ones in the bottom left. Like, it's not like those books where it's like a textbook. Because he has textbook-like books,
right,
too. This is more like a readable book. And that's what I think he's good at, is he's a first-rate scholar, but he can write in a way that's very...
Wait, so but those are called Paul.
Yeah, but that's like his, like... those are like theological textbooks. That's
so
this
if
is like
you, if you're interested, it's like a black book with a red Paul on it. Because then he also has two other ones that are blue. Those are textbooks.
Yeah, those are more like his beefcakes, Paul and the Faithfulness of God. But guys.
I think it's cool. And what you were telling me is just this book kind of makes you realize that Paul was a human.
Yeah.
With like human needs, human things that he had to work through.
And he was very much like blessed by the Spirit with like scriptural, like knowledge that became scripture. So it was very much like the right answer.
Yeah.
But he was also but it was actually coming out of a place of him like working it out.
Yeah.
Like it was very much like it's scripture. And so it's like the way that it's like passed down forever. And he had these ideas that are very much like the right answer. Like we know, like that's God said, yes, this is my way, but through him. But at the same time, I just think I realized like he was a person really fleshing this out, like a lot of stuff of like, oh man, I don't know. Can Gentiles and Jews eat together? Yes, they can. And here's why. I don't know about, you know, food offered to idols? Well, yes and no. And here's why, you know,
yeah.
like it's just crazy. Like he had to really work it out,
mm-hmm.
you know, of like
when he was like
everything had to be re-spun.
And he was the head leader of it because he was a Jew, but he also was proclaiming it to the Gentiles.
Yeah. But here's what's crazy about. Yeah, but kind of. But here's what's funny, too, that I realized so
he's
like
on the front lines of like.
He definitely wasn't
leading.
Yeah. In the sense of an apostle and a leader yes. of the church. But I think what I realized when I was reading this book, too, is he very much had to kind of, he wasn't seen as that always. And yeah, what I mean by right. that is like, it was Peter, James, and John in Jerusalem that was seen as like, they were called like the pillars, actually.
Yeah.
He argues in like ancient literature of like, they were seen as the pillars in the community of like these three, especially James being Jesus's brother, mm-hmm. Peter being like his, you know, main guy in a few moments, obviously in the New Testament. So the, and Jerusalem being the place where it all happened, and Paul very much going that's more around true. Like Asia Minor, Ephesus, here, all these places. He almost kind of had to like, and he didn't have first person relationship right. with Jesus. So there actually was some like, and you see this in Corinthians, right? They were like, no, we don't really want you. We want Peter, or mm-hmm. we want, you know, or they say Cephas, and we want
yeah.
Apollos. So he actually even had to push. It's funny because to some degree he was the theological framer.
Uh-huh.
Like in the same way that if you look at the U.S. Constitution, James Madison and Alexander Hamilton are essentially the main people that actually kind of framed our Constitution. But George Washington is seen as like our head honcho, mm-hmm. like first president, you know, mm-hmm. but he wasn't like really a framer. Right. So it's kind of these different roles of like, he had such a mind that he was like the theological framer, but he did have to push back a lot on like, oh, like where are you getting this authority? And then I think that's in Galatians where then he has to argue, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, I got this directly from God. I'm not yeah. like, it's not a secondhand gospel. I think I just realized like, man, there was a lot of work to really basically mm-hmm. start these new Messiah Jesus communities, you know,
yeah.
like, and what that entailed, and each one had a different problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
Well, it just kind of reminds me in like our day and age, how, I mean, there's so many analogies we could use with Paul, but just like,
yeah.
you really, I think I'm just learning more and more. It really is just all about what the Lord tells you.
Yeah.
Like you can't, sometimes your life, it's not going to look like what you think or what totally. Other people tell you it should be, or, you know, it's like the Lord, you really have to just look to the Lord and hear his voice of where he's leading you and what he wants you to be about. And it's really about following his voice and pleasing him, even if you get, you know, people saying, no, it shouldn't be like that. Or there's so much yeah. more that we could go into like Paul, but I just more and more I'm like, Lord, I just want to hear your voice
yeah.
and I just want to do what you tell me to do. And I want to know your voice where if it's the smallest thing, I do it. And if it's a really big thing, I know that that is from the Lord,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
instead, because I'm sure there's people like, who are you, Paul? Like you killed all these Christians
totally.
And you weren't with Jesus.
Yeah.
And you weren't from like you.
Like Christians were saying that to him. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, no, the Lord has told me. And yeah. I just can imagine those 10 years of solitude
totally.
Of being with the Lord,
yeah,
how
really
he just
it
probably really had to work it out with the Lord. It was just him and just hearing his voice
yeah.
and knowing his voice. And like, sometimes I think as Christians, we can think like, we just want to do it all or be mm-hmm. big or be known. Or even in our culture now with social media, we just want to be seen.
Yeah.
And it's really in those like silent solitude times is when the foundation is built. And it's when you really just become so intimate with the Lord that then maybe your influence flows out of that, or your,
yeah.
you know, whatever that looks. Am I making sense?
No, totally.
Yeah.
That's so good. I love that. You guys, I actually want to come back and talk about this more, but real quick, we're going to take a break and tell you about one more sponsor. Hey guys, Jeff here. Just wanted to take a quick break to tell you about this week's sponsor. And this week's sponsor is Zola. Now, if you don't know them, they're a wedding company that will do anything for love, as they say. And they're awesome. They're actually reinventing the whole wedding planning and registry experience to make your big day the happiest moment of your life, and also the road to that easier. So from engagement to wedding and decorating your first home, Zola wants to be there for you, combining compassionate customer service with modern technology and tools. And guys, I've checked it out. It's incredible. It's awesome. And so if you don't know Zola, it's free, it's easy to use, and it's fun. There's already 300,000 couples who have used Zola. And more specifically, they have everything you love about your favorite department store, plus things like honeymoon funds and fitness classes and so much more. And they have over 500 top brands you can pick from, 50,000 gifts and experiences. It's really, really cool. And you can personalize your registry with photos and notes about why you want certain gifts. And they have price matching, and it's a top rated app on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. So guys, it's incredible. You need to check them out. And we want to hook you guys up with a special offer. So what we want to do is to sign up with Zola and receive a $50 credit towards your registry. Just go to Zola.com/Jeff and Alyssa. So Zola.com/Jeff and Alyssa. And guys, I checked them out. They're incredible. Their website's super easy to use. Their app is incredible and slick. And I just absolutely love the experience and product and service they offer. So make sure to check them out for that $50 credit. Zola.com/Jeff and Alyssa. Love you guys. All right, guys, we are back. And I love what you were saying about that with Paul. And I think, yeah, there's this level of this double-edged sword of like, if you like, well, the cool part is that like Paul was such a scripture guy. Like he never just said, oh, because I feel like it, but it was like the Lord told me, and this is backed up by scripture, mm-hmm. and he would see it and theologically understand it. But the cool part then too, is then that's coupled with love. He just had this perfect threaded needle of like communal love. Cause I was just getting done reading the part of like, you know, I'll be a Jew to the Jewish people and non-Jew mm-hmm. to the non-Jew people. And kind of like, he's all things to all people. Right. And now that's just coming out of a place of love, and that the Messiah, Jesus, that he believed in, brought in this new creation and this new world that allowed for this freedom that just really was not, when you live in it, it's really free, you know, like, and even Wright says that he's like, yeah, Paul makes the case that like he's like, I guarantee you, if Paul went over to a Jewish person's house, he would eat kosher, and he wouldn't mm-hmm. eat because it was this, he became a Jew to the Jew. But then I guarantee you on Thursday night, he goes over to the Gentile's house and he's eating idol meat, you know, mm-hmm. At least according to his own text. Like, you know, now if it was a family that, cause then he makes the argument of like, if it's the weaker brothers, if it's against their conscience, then don't do it. So then if he's a Gentile house and they have a weaker conscience with the idol meat, then he doesn't eat it. Like he just, there's right. this act of love of how he came alongside everyone mm-hmm. while also still never kind of doing that out of the sense of like, I'm going to, weaken everything to like for the truth. That's different. This is more out of like right. relational things that have not been set in stone that you can act out in love.
It's not sin.
Exactly. Exactly. Because mm-hmm. there is things the scripture says, don't do this. And so it's yeah. like, don't do it. But he was just able to relationally act out of love because he was free. And he says that freedom comes from Jesus. It was just really cool. And what was I going to say? Oh yeah. But the part I'm really reading right now is that Wright kind of tries to fill in the blanks between 1st and 2nd Corinthians and how that's probably the most dramatic shift in Paul's letters of 1st Corinthians and 2nd Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And if you read them back to back, you can tell they're very different letters, the tone, the theological implications, so much so that even scholars argue that it might either he changed theology positions or it might even be a different writer. Wright says, no, that's not true. But he says, but it's so different that it's very clear. Like he basically, the way he says it to summarize is that Paul basically was like had a season of really dark depression, like actual mm-hmm. clinical. Basically, I forgot what the line is, but there's a line in 2 Corinthians that he puts in the book. And he's like, I'm a pastor. And if someone came to me and just said that line to me, he goes, oh yeah, I'd be like, yeah, you're depressed. Mm. And he's like, and so he goes, we don't assign that to Paul because we think he's Paul.
Right.
He's like, but no, he had dark years. And then he really digs into why. He digs into the fact that he thinks it because he was in prison. He said it was like this perfect storm of being imprisoned, a relational break of some relationship going sour, and then him being unwanted and unloved by the Corinthians, which was the church he started, and kind of like he just felt betrayed. So it felt like it was these three factors, he says, that just probably put him in a really, really dark place that we can tell from the writings, like wasn't something he just popped out of. He's like, it probably was a couple year, like dark, hard,
yeah.
you know, he's human, so he's probably rethinking it all. Like, is this mm-hmm. what I'm supposed to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the call. But then it was just cool. The relator was like, man, it's not. When you read it on paper, it's so easy to see his life is just 5 minutes. Like his whole life right. is like 2 minutes. Just he did this, and his life is right. done, you know? But it's like, man, yeah, there's parts in between letters that took years that we don't even see.
Yeah.
So I think I was just blown away by that, you know, thinking about the writers of the scriptures were humans. They could come from places of pain and hurt and grief. And then what bore out of that was really, really cool. And that's why it's really, I think it's just you read the letters and they're so much more personal now where like, Nin, it's not a coincidence that 2 Corinthians is the most pastorally, the book's all about grief and pain to the congregation, like not to himself. It's almost like he was, you know, he was almost doing that thing where you self-talk, but you're doing it to other people
mm-hmm.
where he's like, you know, he's trying to encourage the Corinthians of like, he's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all peace. You know, he'll fill you up and you know, you won't be crushed, but dismayed or all these, you know, it's like, But it's like, that's to himself. It's just funny. That's to himself.
Or he was learning that. And so yeah, it's like the natural overflow.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool that like, yeah, scripture is not this flat robotic document, but it's these people that are living in experiences, writing out of those experiences. Somehow the Lord in his spirit and his providence makes that gospel truth and sacred scripture. But it's crazy. And then it was cool too. There's this part where he talks about that part in 1 Peter or 2 Peter where it's like this two sentence where Peter's like, yeah, I know Paul's stuff's really hard to understand, but it's like good. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's basically this line where Peter's like, yeah, some people have a hard time reading Paul. And he's like, but it's scripture or whatever. And I just never really sat on that. But Paul, he's like, Wright was like, that's crazy to think that Paul was already elevated to scripture in the community.
Yeah, that
like
is that crazy.
Early.
Yeah.
Usually scripture takes like 100 or 2 years before mm-hmm. people say like, yeah, let's put that in the canon. Mm-hmm. That's like the Lord has tested that. And he's like, so that's how influential he was and clear it was that the Lord was giving him revelation, you know, to the point where the church at the end of his life was like, yeah, that's scripture, that's in. So
mm-hmm.
it's crazy.
That's so cool.
Got anything to add? What are you reading?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah,
I've been on a Hallmark kick lately.
Oh, tell us about it.
The Hallmark app. You guys, okay. We don't really watch TV.
Well, we don't have cable, yeah, or anything
we don't
like
have
that.
Cable.
We just watch
once
Netflix
in a while
we'll
like binge watch a TV show, but we're not in that season.
Yeah, we've probably done 4 or 5 total shows in our marriage.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah.
But anyway, and we don't have the Hallmark channel because we don't
have cable.
But I do the Hallmark app, and lately I've just been watching a movie often, and it makes me so happy.
Yeah,
so
you love their stuff.
I feel like it's totally legit because it makes me feel encouraged, and it's, I don't know, they're just cute and uplifting. And
what was the last
I
one
love
about
Hallmark? Oh, it doesn't matter.
Guys,
I mean, they're so,
tweet us hashtag Jeff and Alyssa if you're a Hallmark fan.
I love it.
What was the last one about?
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Let me guess. They're all the same. This one was about...
They're pretty much all the same.
This one was about some guy who is in the picture young, leaves and goes off to a job or goes off to a thing. They reunite 10 years later at a coffee shop by randomly bumping into each other.
That's not Hallmark.
He spills on her. She randomly goes, oh, don't... Oh.
That's not Hallmark.
I thought it was. Okay, what's the Hallmark formula?
Well, I don't know.
You're just gonna
I can
come
tell
at
you
me
the Christmas ones. The Christmas for like one Christmas. Year. I remember it was a couple years ago. It was like the girl would be dating some guy and he wouldn't be that great. He'd be like really wealthy but didn't care about her or whatever. And then she would meet another guy that was like really sweet and solid and then she'd fall in love with him and they'd get married.
It's pretty good.
But yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I just really enjoy Hallmark and it's like blessing my little soul.
It's blessing your soul.
It's blessing my soul. I feel like I've been in a fiction mood lately to read, and I've kind of like flown through all my fiction books. So I'm kind of at a desert still.
That is the hardest when you feel like you're crushing books where you can't keep up because it's like...
Well, in fiction books, I can read so fast.
Yeah.
And I'm a little picky of a reader, so I'll find an author that I like, and then I'll read all their books in like two weeks.
Yeah.
And then I'm out. Okay. For like 3 months.
Yeah. Here's a fun thing that I like people doing on a podcast. What are you loving right now? What are you loving?
Hallmark Channel.
What up besides that? We're talking physical products. We're talking skills. We're talking chapstick, a candle scent, food.
You go first.
Okay, guys, here's what I'm loving. Homemade rosemary bread.
Mm.
Yes. Made in the cast
by
iron.
By Jeff.
Well, yes. In the cast iron Dutch oven. Guys, I found this recipe that's a no knead, not N-E-E-D, but K-N-E-A-D, where you don't have to like, you know, mush it and lump it, which takes a lot of work and time. And I'm all about that, looking for things that are just hacks to life that take no work, no time. But it's a no knead recipe, but it's like artisan style where literally it's like super crusted on the outside, just like you would see at like a, you know, a French market or something, street fair. But then like awesome
it's
and
so
chewy
good,
and
guys.
Airy in the middle.
Like we can never buy bread anymore.
No, but you have to have, it only takes like 10 minutes, but it has to sit on the counter for 3 hours and then you put it in the oven. But you have to have a Dutch oven, which if you guys don't know what that is, it's like a cast iron pot that kind of creates a full closure and seal. And so what it does is it retains all the heat and then traps the steam. And that's how it's able to get that artisan bread. But it is so bomb. So I'm loving that.
So good.
I'm loving cereal. Guys.
Yes.
We,
okay, guys, we
tell
don't.
The story.
We don't eat cereal.
Our kids don't eat cereal. We don't eat cereal.
One,
we do like oatmeal
like,
and nuts and raisins and granola and acai. We're super healthy.
We're healthy, but it's also just really expensive on Maui.
Yeah. So, $14 for like a little.
So we do not that much. We don't eat cereal. But the other night after dinner, after the kids went to bed, we both just kind of looked at each other like, you know what sounds so good?
A bowl of cereal.
A bowl of cereal. So Jeff went down the store.
And I got 5 boxes.
He came back with 5 of choose. Like our childhood dream boxes.
Captain Crunch, Reese's Puffs, Honey Bunches of Oats, Corn Pops, and Frosted Flakes. Yeah. Guys, hit us on the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. What is your top 5?
And they didn't have, my favorite is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
And Lucky Charms. Remember you wanted
No, I only wanted Lucky Charms. Well, that was the whole thing. I wanted Lucky Charms because Saturday is St. Patrick's Day. And so I was looking on Pinterest and they had like, eat Lucky Charms with a glass of green milk. And so I was like, babe, can you go to the store and get us Lucky Charms? They didn't have it. But anyway.
But guys, it was so good. So and we, good. We're kind of like a pretty heavily anti-sugar home, except for, I mean, we'll have cookies here and there. But so I like knew I had to hide it the next day because I didn't want kids to see it because we don't really eat that. But then what was funny is Alyssa wanted to give him like a little treat. And it's funny when you don't eat something, how much stuff that was like, that was normal to me as a kid where that was like my breakfast. But what are you going to say?
I didn't give them the sugary ones. I just.
I gave them Corn Pops, which is awesome.
They love
it. But it was just funny because like, it's funny when you, it's funny how it's all relative to kids. Like, because they don't ever have that, then Corn Pops felt like we just went to Disneyland.
They were loving
it. But it was funny. Yeah, they
it.
Were loving it. Yeah. And so you gave them a little treat and I had to hide them again. But they'll probably climb up in the pantry and get them.
We were loving our cereal.
So guys, what is your favorite cereal? I will say, if we're talking like sugar doesn't
there's
matter
two different,
at all.
Yeah, there's two different categories.
Yeah, there's like the decently healthy kind of sweet sugary one. And then there's ones that is literally just like M&M's in like a thing. So if we're talking that category, I would say, what was the one that was the literally it was just
cookies.
Chocolate? Yeah, it was chocolate chip cookies, but it was like cereal.
I don't know,
like,
see, I've never actually had that one.
Okay, that one was up there for me. Reese's Pea Puffs is up there for me. Captain Crunch is up there for me. Mm. And then like with the Crunch Berries. And then like the mediocre ones, I'd say like Honey Bunches of Oats, Honey Nut Cheerios.
I love Honey Nut Cheerios.
Corn Pops.
Okay, but this is something that a lot of people probably don't know about Jeff. When we dated and while we lived in Washington, not so much here because it's not the culture. Like when Froyo was super in.
Oh, guys, I was about that Froyo life.
Jamba Juice. Jeff would always get,
Fruity Pebbles secret menu Jamba Juice.
Yeah, and then he would always get what kind of cereal?
Froyo with Fruity Pebbles or Captain Crunch on top. Mm-hmm.
Every time. So he's like a true cereal lover.
Yeah, like I, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Fruity Pebbles. Oh, Fruity Pebbles. The only thing I don't like about Fruity Pebbles is it's so, I mean, Fruity Pebbles is my favorite, but it's so small and like granular that I feel like you have to put the whole bag into the bowl because it's like so.
Which he did. He had like 3 huge bowls.
True. I think I'm going to have a bowl right after this, actually. It's going, I can't talk
and
about
then,
it.
Okay. And then while we were eating our cereal and like just giggling because it was the best night of our lives, he showed me this music video that Sadie Robertson was in.
Which she's a friend.
And her friend Lainey. Yeah,
it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's like rapping about cereal.
Yeah, it's like a funny parody rap video. So, well, it's not parody, but it's like a funny joke music of just like a dance song that's about cereal. It's hilarious. Yeah, so anyway. If you guys want to go look that up, just search Cereal Sadie Robertson.
Maybe for next year's Halloween, we should all just be a cereal.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll make our own big. Well, that'd be funny actually if all four, us and the kids, all had like little cardboard boxes that we wore that was all like different cereal. I wonder if you could like try
and
to make it even go
pass
one step
out
farther.
Cereal for our
you know how they make those little baby boxes for like hotels?
Yes.
I wonder if we could almost make try to get like cereals that kind of represented our roles,
characters.
Like the dad, the mom, or yeah, either personality or roles,
that's
or if
idea.
They didn't, then we kind of changed them, like kind of how they did the Christian t-shirts, you know, where we actually changed the title to like be something with a funny name for dad. Like, oh, Corn Pops, you know, like, because I'm corny and I'm Pops. I'm dad.
Oh, hey.
I like this. I'd be Corn Pops because I got corny
That's
jokes,
cute.
Totally.
That's cute. Mm-hmm.
And I'm Pops. Mm-hmm. What would you be? You'd be Lucky Charms because you are a Lucky Charm.
I actually don't know cereal well enough to be able to name everyone.
Sis would, Kinsley would definitely be Captain Crunch. She is a captain and she's a crunch.
Can't it could be Tony the Tiger.
Yes, he'd be Frosted Flakes. Yeah. What else is there?
There's
do you remember Kix?
Sam.
Oh, yeah. Fruity Loops.
And then there's like the three
Canada
little
would
rice.
Be Fruity Loops.
Oh, yeah. There's the three guys on the Rice Krispies.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about like that where the names actually fit your title. Like.
Oh, well, I just meant.
But I like the mascots too.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Do you know those Rice Krispie guys, their names?
No.
It's the three sound. You don't know their names?
Crackle Pop.
Yeah, Snap Crackle Pop.
Man, you could like go on a trivia game about cereal.
I could. I'm pretty sure that's their names. I'd hope so now that I'm going to stand on. guys, we were just talking about cereal for the next 10 minutes. We're going to let
you
go on with today. We love you.
Paul and cereal.
Yeah. 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 We're all about that. Paul, We're all about He Is Greater Than I. We're all about cereal. It all ties together. It all ties together. Hey, we love you guys. Have a good rest of the day. Let us know on social media what stood out today, what you enjoyed. And if you're reading or doing anything alongside of us, because we love hearing about that. We love you guys. Have a good rest of the day.